I'm Nick. I'm a technical evangelist here at Microsoft. And today we're going to look into how you get started with Visual Studio Code. Now, what's the agenda for this session? So in the upcoming hour, I'm going to, well, first we're going to run through a couple of slides introducing you to Visual Studio Code. So what is it? Why is it there? How can you get it? And then it's going to be mostly demos. So we're going to do a lot of demos to, well, I think it's the best way to get started is by seeing how things get done. So let's kick this one off. So why do we have Visual Studio Code? So if you look at the current spectrum of development tools, basically what you see is there's two ends extremes of the spectrum. So the first one is where we have where Microsoft has been traditionally very strong with Visual Studio, the full-blown product, which is the integrated development environment, so the IDEs such as Visual Studio, such as Eclipse or IntelliJ. So there's a number of them which provide you, well, a rich experience. On the other hand, you have a lot of developers, mainly in the web development space, that are moving not necessarily into this large developer environment, but rather use text editors. Some examples are, of course, on the Windows platform, it's Notepad or Notepad plus. There's Sublime Text. Some people use Vi. Some use Emacs. So there's a whole range of text editors that people are using for doing their web development typically. Those web develop those editors are typically very lightweight. That's why people choose them. They're very fast. You can have a very quick turnaround time for doing your development. They support many languages. They're very keyboard centric. So you typically do everything through your keyboard, through command line integration. Whereas on the other hand, this rich developer environments, such as, for example, Visual Studio, they give you a rich environment where they really take you by the hand through wizards, through a very rich experience, where you have very rich code understanding, like IntelliSense, like code refactoring, and so on. Debugging experiences, all of those things which kind of add to the richness of this developer environment. Yeah. Now, what we thought was, well, with Visual Studio Code, what we want to give you is actually kind of the experience, the lightweight experience of of an editor. However, there's still a number of things that you want to take over from that rich Visual Studio experience, where you want to have like fast editing, very keyboard centric. However, you still want to, for example, add this code understanding, so IntelliSense, code refactoring. Also, the debugging experience, integration with task runners such as Grunt or Gulp, and understanding all package formats. So those are the things that we kind of blended together into a single tool, which is now has been in preview released at our Build conference earlier this year in April, to give you that experience. It's very simply said, it's the simplicity of a code editor, but with some of the richness that you get through a full-blown developer environment. Now, what kind of amazed people, which were not kind of into the Microsoft world, which even were in the Microsoft world, is that Visual Studio Code is now available for Mac OS, for the Windows platform, and also for Linux. So it's really a cross-platform tool that we're providing you, because, well, the world has is basically consisting of very heterogeneous environments. So you have web development happening both on Linux. A lot of web devs are doing their development on a Mac. A lot of them are also using Windows. So what we said was, if we are to build a tool which can help web developers, cloud developers do their job, well, we need to make sure that that tool is available on their platforms. And that's basically what we achieved with Visual Studio Code. How did we do this? This is some background, some internals of how Visual Studio Code was is built. So it's actually built again, building on top of that openness that we try to achieve with Microsoft, is that we have taken what was formerly known as the Atom shell from GitHub, and actually build Visual Studio Code on top of at the Atom shell, or Electron as it's called right now, which basically provides you this native application, which internally actually is a web application that you're hosting inside of it. So Visual Studio Code is built using HTML, using JavaScript, so which is actually quite nice. Of course, with some integration with Squirrel, for example, for application updates. So Visual Studio Code will be updating automatically, so you'll get the latest version of the tool as you go. Now, where exactly is Visual Studio Code something that we developed entirely, completely new? So that's not really the case. So what we've done is, and which you may have already experienced, is that, for example, on OneDrive, if you are to, typically people write, store like pictures and Word documents and all that stuff on OneDrive, but you can also add code in there. So you can add either TypeScript or JavaScript files or C# files on a OneDrive. And if you go through the browser, you can basically edit those code files inside of your browser, and you get a code editing experience with some IntelliSense features. But that's basically the same engine that is sitting inside of OneDrive that we are again reusing within Visual Studio Code. The same thing goes for the TypeScript playgrounds. Again, browser-based playing around with TypeScript is actually giving you all of that that experience, that same experience, that developer experience that you get within Visual Studio Code, you do get it inside of your browser. Yeah. And there's more examples. Visual Studio Align, again, gives you that experience, that same web experience. And we'll see this in the demos. Again, you can have file comparisons, side-by-side comparisons. Again, this is a feature which we have in the browser, which again comes back into Visual Studio Code, because it's basically HTML and JavaScript hosted inside of an Atom shell. Yeah. So again, something familiar. Even the F12 tools that you have inside of Internet Explorer or Edge, again, make use of that same engine. Azure websites, editing in the browser, again, same engine being used. So it's really a product that's already been very well tested, especially the parts that are sitting in the F12 tools. There's millions of users, web developers that are already using those tools. So it's really proven to work quite well with even large files. So you see here, Visual Studio Code, as it's shown here, building on top of all of that experience that we've built previously. Now, you've heard me talk about web development, basically that's what we target right now with Visual Studio Code. So who is Visual Studio Code actually for? So it's mainly right now for doing your web development, because that's typically what we see, is web developers tend to use that light editor experience or working cross-platform. So we want to give at first a good experience to web development. Of course, doing developments for cloud backends as well ties quite easily into the web development sphere. So their web development, cloud development, are typically the areas where Visual Studio Code will really excel, and where you can take a lot of advantage in there. And this is the current state of the technologies that we currently support in terms of Visual Studio Code. So you can see specifically there in terms of languages, there's a whole range of languages, and we're keeping on adding support for those languages as we go. You can see at the top there, the basic experience that we provide for languages such as, for example, Ruby or PHP is, for example, IntelliSense, or is indentation, code coloring, and so on. And we can take it one step further, where we have a better language integration inside of Visual Studio Code, which is then specifically for JavaScript, HTML, so basically all the common web technologies that are often used. We get a rich experience for editing. And where we actually go again one step further is for C# and TypeScript, where we can add actually refactoring of code inside of Visual Studio Code. Yeah. And where specifically then for Node.js, we actually add debugging as well as part of Visual Studio Code. Yeah. Of course, there's more than just writing code. You need to make sure that your code is also safe. So for that, we got source control integration inside of Visual Studio Code. So for the people familiar with Microsoft technologies, you may wonder why is there only Git in terms of source control support. So we are currently looking into also adding Team Foundation version control. But as a first iteration, we've added support for Git, as that is really some a protocol that's been uprising quite fast in the web sphere. So and at the bottom you can see task running. So as mentioned, we do support automatic detection for Gulp and Grunt and Jake task runners. So the aim with Visual Studio Code is that you have the end-to-end experience inside of Visual Studio Code to help you from writing your code, storing it in your source control system, adding rich debugging inside of that, editing experience, as well as all of the automation that comes with web development and especially front-end web development. Okay, so where do you get Visual Studio Code? You take your browser and you navigate to code.visualstudio.com, where you'll find the latest version of Visual Studio Code. So here you can find the download link for the Windows platform. If you click on other platforms, you will find the download link for both Linux and Mac. Okay, let's start coding. So what we'll first do is we'll just scaffold a simple web application. I'm using Express for that. I'm going to Express application. This will scaffold a simple application. And if we then go to my Express application, what we'll do is we'll install all of the Node packages that go with that. So we'll do an npm install. Now, while that is running, it's going to go through all of the packages that are needed for this specific web application. So once this finishes, we can start up code. We'll do code with a dot after it, which means that code will open up within the context of this specific directory. It will open up the files that are located in this specific directory. Okay. So what you see here is the code user interface. So on the left-hand side, you could see the activity bar, where you'll see what we call viewlets. The first one allows you to explore all the files that you have inside of your directory. You can also search, go through source control, and do debugging. Yep. As we open up a file, we can just click on it in the Explorer, and it will open up the file inside of the editor window. So we can open up multiple files side by side by control clicking on a file, and you see that it opens up alongside the other file. Another option would be to, if we close this one off, is to click the split editor icon here. It will open up a second instance, and then if we click a file, it will open up again alongside. If we want to rearrange of these editor panes, we can just drag the current window and drag it to the other position. Okay, and so we can open up two or three files at the same time. Okay, so because you don't see any tabs here, we can still work on multiple files at the same time. Okay, as we start modifying files, you'll notice that inside of here, the working files section, the package.json file gets added. So the working files are basically the set of files that you have currently open and in which you're making modifications. This allows you quick access to your currently changed files. Okay. One particularly useful feature for rapid development and making sure you don't lose any changes you can find in the file menu, and which is the autosave functionality. So this one will make sure that every modification that you make to the file is automatically saved to disk as you go. So I mentioned earlier that well, Visual Studio Code is really a keyboard-centric code editor or development environment. And basically what we've done is through what we call the command palette, which you can access through Shift-Control-P. You basically get access to all of the commands that are available to inside of the user interface, but making them available through keyboard shortcuts. Okay, so you can do Shift Control P, and then you can start typing. If you want to, for example, change the current color theme, we can just type theme, and it will present as preferences color theme. If you do a question mark, you can see, for example, what are the git commands, gonna show errors and warnings inside of my current environment, and so on. So every single command is available through the command palette, and we'll see more examples as we go through the demos. So let's just close this one off. So now we have here the package.json file, which is an important file which defines for a Node.js application all of the dependent packages that are being used by this web application. And what you can see here in Visual Studio Code is that we have actually provided you with IntelliSense for a package.json file. Yeah, so if we need, for example, jQuery, we can do control space, and we get the list of packages in which there is jQuery. Let's take just the standard jQuery. And then also for the version numbers, we can again do control space for getting the command completion. And here again, we can see the current latest version of jQuery inside of there. So we don't have to look up the exact version number of the latest version of this specific Node package. So this is really a very handy feature. As you go. Okay, so this is for JSON files and package.json files. If we now go to the app.js file, so here we have a server-side JavaScript file, and what we can do here is, for example, we could create a new variable message, which is a string. So hello VS Code. As we go, we can do msg dots, and what you'll see is that we get, again, IntelliSense giving us information about this, the functions and properties that are available for this specific variable. So we can see it's allowing us to get a specific character, so it really recognizes that this is a string variable. So if we change this to a numeric value, for example, we'll see that IntelliSense will give us a different set of functions that are available for this specific variable, because it's now a numeric value rather than a string value. Okay, so let's just undo those changes here and make it a string again. So we see this for variables, but at the same time, we can also have IntelliSense for example, here we'll have the console.log, and we'll see that we get here some information about the log method that is available on the console object. So we can pass in our message object, and there we go. So we get nice IntelliSense for our variables and functions as we type them in a JavaScript file. One additional nice feature that we have inside of JavaScript, but not only in JavaScript, is that we can do here, for example, go to definition. So if we put it on the app variable, we'll see that we go to the definition of app. Similarly, in large files, it may be useful to, for example, peek the definition, and then we'll get an inline view of this definition while still remaining at the current position in our file. So this allows us to give us additional context without having to switch to a different file or to a different location in our currently open file. So peek. And go to definition, really handy features that we know of Visual Studio, which are now made their way into this more text editor. So rich functionalities, having augmenting our experience inside of a text editor. Okay. Now, this is all nice. You may have heard about JavaScript and the new version of JavaScript, which is ECMAScript 6. Now, how does Visual Studio Code allow us to deal with JavaScript 6, so, or ECMAScript 6? So, to show you some of the ECMAScript 6 features, we're going to create a new file, which is the jsconfig.json file. which will allow us to configure the JavaScript environment here. And so what we do is JSON file, a typical JSON syntax with the parentheses, and again we get IntelliSense for the JSConfig file. So what we're going to do is grab the compiler options, and then we're going to add here what we need is our target version, and we need ECMAScript 6. And in terms of modules, what we're going to add is the CommonJS module. Okay, there we go. So that's one item. So this will mark in the side of the environment that we are working with ECMAScript 6. Now we're going to add a utilities class, so a JS file. In there we're going to define a constant, pi equals 3.14. So you may know all this variable. And then we're going to define a function that we can then leverage inside of our different JavaScript files. So this one takes a radius, and now the definition of the file, which you probably all know, is radius times the radius times the pi variable gives us the area of a circle at a given radius. Now inside of app.js we can now leverage this function that we've defined. So if you now do here import star as utils from, then we'll find this in the utils environment. What we can then do is, for example, have a variable area equals utils dot area. You can see that we have the function here IntelliSense being added, and we can pass it in a value, for example, 3, and this will invoke our area function inside of the utils module. So this is really nice functionality that we are providing here. ECMAScript 6 support, where we can define functions and call those functions inside of other JavaScript files. Now JavaScript, as you know, it's a dynamic language. However, the drawback of that is that we don't have any type safety. So for that, Microsoft has come up with TypeScript. TypeScript, which provides you kind of a typed layer on top of JavaScript. Again, Visual Studio Code has great support for TypeScript. And just to demonstrate you that, what we're going to do is, instead of using a JSConfig, we're going to rename this one to TS from TypeScript config. And our utilities class, we're going to make that into utils.ts. So it's a TypeScript file. If we then go to our utils class, well, because it's a TypeScript file, what we can do is we can mark this specific parameter for the function, so the radius parameter, well, we can mark it as being a number. There we go. So if we have this, we have now added some type information in there. So if we now create utils equals require our utils, let's do it this way, and if we now look into our utils, our area function, we'll see that we get information about the type. If, for example, we provide a non-numeric value, like our message parameter, what you'll see is we'll get a squiggly line, and if we hover on top of that, we get an error indicating that this parameter has the wrong type. So it can't be string, we're expecting there a numeric value. So as soon as we make this into a numeric value, everything is okay. Okay, so again, great support for TypeScript and adding some type safety into our application. Okay, now because we're using TypeScript, there is a community project which is called Definitely Typed, which basically provides these type definitions for existing Node.js and JavaScript libraries. One of the things you see here in Express and in Node is that we are using here the dirname variable. This one is not known, by the current editor, so it doesn't know which type it is. It can't find it in the current environment. Yeah, so to resolve this, what we're going to do is we go back to our command prompt. Let me clear my window here. And what we can use is we call the TypeScript definitions command, and we're going to query for Node and Express packages. So this is going to query the definitely typed repository, and the action that we're going to perform is install the type definitions for Node and Express inside of our current environment. So as we type this, we will get some d.ts, so type definitions for both Express and Node being added to our application. If I now switch to our editor, what you'll see is that the dir name is now no longer being marked with a squiggly line, so it's available by means of the type definitions. So this will also allow us to peek its definition, where you'll see that it has been defined in the node.d.ts file that we just imported. So this will add like a typed layer on top of our JavaScript. So if we do app dot something, or we could do express, we'll see again all of the objects we provide us with the IntelliSense. Okay, so let's remove all this. We don't need this anymore. Now, if you're writing web applications, there's more than just JavaScript or TypeScript. The most common code that you write for the web is probably HTML. So let's just add a hello.html file to show you what the Visual Studio Code can do with HTML code. One of the nice things we provide is emmet support. So emmet is basically allowing you to be lazy as a web developer. You can just use shorthand notations, and it will expand those specific shorthands into more elaborate HTML constructs. So for example, we use the exclamation mark and we then tab. What you get is kind of the base structure of a HTML document. And we can tab between different sections. We can say here, hello code. If we tab, we are navigating to the body section of our HTML document. Yeah. And one of the nice things in emmet is that we can do things like div dots, and then we want an unstructured list, and then we want some list items. Let's say we want 5 list items. If we then do tab, this will again expand into multiple items. If we do tab, you can see we can navigate between those different items, and let's say like this. So this is really a time saver if you're writing a lot of repetitive HTML code. So there's a whole bunch of emmet constructs available to you that we support inside of Visual Studio Code. So really, really nice feature that we have here. Just coming back to JavaScript, very often, well, often you may have some embedded JavaScript inside of your HTML. Let's say we have your script section. What we can do here again is do var msg equals hello from HTML. Do this, do msg dot. Again, you'll see that IntelliSense kicks in and helps us out here. So again, it doesn't really matter where your JavaScript is located in. It's in a JavaScript file or it's embedded inside of HTML. We still have those IntelliSense features of Visual Studio Code. So really nice features. Let's remove this. Now, HTML does not go without CSS, so our style sheets. So again, there we have some support for style sheets. If you look at here in our public folder, in the style sheets folder, there you'll see that we have a style.css file, CSS file. And one of the things you'll see here is that, for example, for color coding, we have we'll show you what a specific hex code for color types actually looks like. So you get some preview of that. So if we change this to, for example, AA56, you'll see that it's green. Or we could use the namings of the colors just to give us that information. So with this, we have some nice support for CSS. One of the nice things is, as well, as people are using style sheets, they tend to switch to less or size to do pre-processing. So if we make this into a less file, for example, style.less, one of the things that less provides, or size as well, is that we can define variables inside of our style sheet. So if we define a variable, for example, accent color, and let's make this into red, for example, what we can do then here is we can refer to our variable instead of having the fixed value inline inside of our JavaScript, inside of our CSS. Apologies. Okay. And one of the cool things is as well that we can then again go to peak definition or go to the definition, and it will have this inside of our CSS as well. So really, again, a very good time saver to navigate to definitions of your variables inside of your less files. As you work with less or SAS files, of course, these need to be generated into CSS files. As you deploy your application, of course, we need CSS rather than less. For that, we are using tasks. So those will run our preprocessors to generate from our less file into a CSS file. One of the ways to do this is by means of gulp. To use gulp, what we'll do here is we'll add a new file, which is gulpfile.js. A Java file, what we need to do is we'll be using gulp and just require our gulp library. One thing we need to do, of course, we need to switch back to our command prompt and do an npm install gulp, and we'll also need gulp less, because we're going to use gulp to generate CSS from a less file. And one of the things while this one is installing the node packages, I'm going to grab just from the gulp less web page and just some sample code to generate CSS out of a less file. Let me just copy paste this. One of the things we need to change here in this sample is that our less files are not in the less folder, but rather in the public folder. As you can see, public, underneath there we'll find our less files. Okay, so we got gulp and gulp less installed on our machine. Let's now switch back to our gulp file. One of the nice features in Visual Studio Code is that it has support for gulp, jake, and grunt files. And then specifically, it can determine or can scan the specific configuration files and find all of the tasks that have been defined in those task runners. How can we run these tasks now? It's quite easy. We go to the command palette, Shift-Control-P. We can do run task. We click this. What you'll see is the list of tasks that have been defined will appear here, and here we can have a single task, which is the less task. If we run this one, what you'll see is inside of the public folder that the CSS folder, and you have a new style.css file that has been generated based on our style.less file. I have it here side by side. So if I change the color here in the less file to, for example, red, and then again run our task, so Shift Control P, run task, and we want to run the less task, what you'll see is that our style.css file gets run. Now this is nice and very helpful, however it still remains a manual task that we need to perform. Now what if we could make running a task part of our build process? So we build our project and automatically our gulp tasks get executed. So how can we do this? So again, we go to the command palette, and go to tasks, and then we could see here the first most item here is the configure task runner. Let me just remove our style.css file here. What you see here is the task.json file. So this configures our task runner, and then specifically we are going to configure the gulp commands here. And what we're going to do here is we're going to define our build command. So first thing we do is add our task name. Let's call it less. And then we need to specify if it's a build command, which it is. Mark it as true. And then on the show output, this one we'll put to never. Let's just complete this one here. And that's all we need to do. So by configuring this specific command, being the less command, as being the build command, as soon as we are now building our project, which we're doing with the shift control B command, our task runner will launch the less gulp task. Let's just open up our CSS file and also our less file side by side. If I now change this one here to green in our less file, if I now do shift control B, so I'm running my build process, what we'll see is that the corresponding style.css file gets modified and also gets the green value. So one thing to further optimize this is that instead of doing a build all of the time, you can modify your gulp file and make it add a file watcher in there, so that every time you make a modification to, for example, a less file, automatically the given gulp less task will be executed behind the scenes, so you won't have to do an explicit shift control B every single time you want to generate the CSS files. Okay, so now we've made quite a significant amount of code changes, and we want to, of course, keep them safe under source control. So what we can see here on the left hand side is instead of the source control viewlet specifically, we can see the initialize git repository button. And this will allow us to initialize a new git repository inside of our current directory. So if we can click this one. So a question you may ask, are we only supporting now git? What about Team Foundation version control? Right now we only have git, but yeah, keep an eye on new versions of code. Maybe one day we'll have Team Foundation version control as well. So what you see here is a little badge showing that we have 99 plus files that are being modified. So if you click on this one here, we can see basically all of the files that are currently being modified. You can see here, this also contains the node modules files. We don't want to have these as part of our commit into source control. So what we're going to do is we're going to add inside of our project a git ignore file. So we create a git ignore file, and we're going to ignore node modules files. As a result, autosave is kicking in, and we can see that batch is updated, and we now only have 18 files that haven't modified. We can now commit this into local git repository, so it's going to be our initial commit. I do click the check mark. All of our changes are now committed into a local Git repository. The nice thing is, because we have source control functionality, if I now go, for example, to our app.js file and I make a modification, let's say I want to comment this line out. We'll see as I make a modification, the badge gets updated. I have a single file that's modified. If I click on this changed file, we can have side-by-side comparison of changes inside of our source control repository. I can commit this and say remove demo code, commit it locally, and we'll see there's no longer any changes inside of our specific directory. So source control integration through Git, together with side-by-side code comparison. So now that we have our source control configured, we have it set up, our code is safe. So what still remains is running our application, of course. We've done some development, make sure our code is secure. Now, can we debug our application straight from Visual Studio Code? That would be nice, right? So Visual Studio Code supports debugging of Node.js applications. If we go to the Debug tab, what we'll see here is the familiar experience. If you're coming from Visual Studio, you'll see the familiar debug experience where you can look at variables, have your watch variables, have a look at the call stack, and of course we also have breakpoint support. So adding breakpoints, we can use the F9 function key, or just click here inside of the code editor. We can add and remove breakpoints as we go. So let's add a breakpoint here on our message variable. Now, how can we run a Node.js application? Typically, Node.js applications are run from the command line. But here, what needs to what's our entry point for the Node.js application? For that, we have here this little icon here where we can configure how our application is going to be started. If we click this one, what we'll see is that there's a launch.json file generated for us. And in here, we have the configuration for basically running our application. So the first one here is just launch, let's give it just a logical name. So launch web app. And this will basically then launch our bin.ww folder for Node. Okay. So basically, that's all we need to do. And what you'll see here is we can either launch our web app, so that's our local code, or Visual Studio Code is also able to attach to an already running web application. So let's just launch our web app here. If we click the start button or do F5, what you'll see here is our code starts and we hit our first breakpoint. So if we just then step over the specific line, as we go, you can see that we have our variables in here. So we can have all of our variables. We can go and look at the specific variables in more detail. We can see our directory name, if we can drill down into the body parser object, and so on and so on. So these are typical. We can add watch variables, so the MSG watch variable, for example. As you go, and we can see our call stack just as we navigate through our web application. So right, really experience that you know from within Visual Studio, now brought into more code editing experience, but still with the richness of the debugging experience. So this is really nice. So we can just then run our application, and then as you go, we'll see here in our command prompt that we have a debugger listening on that specific port. Okay. Now, what we can do as well is just add a breakpoint at another location here, for example, in our routes index.js. And then, for example, if we get a GET request for the homepage, let's just add a breakpoint here and then navigate to our browser. And then open up our website. So that's going to be localhost. It's going to be hosted at port 3000. What you'll see is our breakpoint gets hit. And again, we can see our request. If we hover on top of that one, we can see the value. If we do again F5 in the browser, we'll see the Express application appear here. Okay, so really nice experience that you know, which is really familiar, all inside of basically a code editor. So really getting you that rich experience in a very light code editing experience. Now, one final thing I want to show you here is that, we've seen Visual Studio Code for working with Node.js code with HTML, CSS files. Now, maybe you're more looking at doing some ASP.NET development, and then specifically ASP.NET 5, which follows kind of a similar syntax than Node.js applications in terms of just adding files into a directory and no longer have a real project structure. Yeah. So let's just scaffold a ASP.NET 5 web application. So for that, we're going to use the Yeoman scaffolder. And so here we're going to generate an ASP.NET web application. Let's choose here web application, enter it, take the default name, web application. It's going to scaffold. Let's navigate to our web application directory. So you'll see here a bunch of files being added. And what we're going to do is now similar to what we did with the NPM install. We're going to do a DNU restore to get all of the dependent packages inside of our project. So there we go. And then we can do a code dot just to open up Visual Studio Code on the current directory, enter it. It's opening up Visual Studio Code here behind the scenes. Let's zoom in slightly. And what you'll see here is, again, we have a package.json file, again, with support for new packages, and we'll have IntelliSense. We can add here, for example, jQuery. There we go. What version do we need? Maybe the latest version. That's it. And if we go to, for example, the startup.cs file, you'll see here, again, code coloring for ASP.NET code. And again, what you'll see as well here is more a more rich experience. So let's go to our view models, for example, and have the index view model. What you see here is the experience that you know in Visual Studio, which is called Code Lens, where we can actually have reference information. So this specific property has a single reference. We can click on it and it will open up in a peek window the exact location where this specific property was used. So we can just click on it and we can see basically the code fragment or the specific variable was being used. So again, nice experience. We have functionality for going to finding all references, peaking definitions, the things that we've seen already for the other languages. We also have that in the .NET language. So we navigate to this one. Similar, we can do peak definition, and we'll see here the phone number definition appear inline in our code. So similar to what we have with Node, we have here as well with ASP.NET. Only thing which is currently not yet available in here is debugging support for ASP.NET, but this will very likely come very soon into the Visual Studio Code product. And with that, I want to round up the demos for Visual Studio Code. So we've done a nice tour of the user experience with the viewlets, activity bar. Also, we saw a number of samples of using the command palette. We saw working side by side with files and all of the richness that gets added into a code editor to bring in functionality from a rich IDE into this light editing experience.